Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
To turn this morning to the book of John, we're going to be looking at verse 3. The book of John, looking at, not verse 3, actually we're looking at John chapter 3. And we're going to be reading from verses 22 down through verse 30. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 22 down through verse 30. You can follow along with me. I'll read it from the screen. This is the New King James Version of the Bible here on the screen. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. Next verse, 26. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend is the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. And here's the verse that I want you to cling to right here. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, the title of this message this morning, and I'm just going to retell this story and echo everything that we just read and kind of just bring it out. But I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of God's must. God's must. When we begin reading in this section of Scripture, listen, the most popular verse of the entire Bible is preceding what we just read. More people are familiar with John 3:16 perhaps than any other verse in the Bible. And we can probably, for God so loved the world, that particular verse. Leading into that and around that, we have the story of Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, who was a religious leader. He came to Jesus at night, no doubt had already been hearing Jesus and had been giving witness to Jesus. And though he was a religious leader among the in Judaism, he saw something different about Jesus, and he inquired of Jesus, and this is where Jesus tells him, you must be born again. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. This is where we get that language about being born again. That's why it's a strange thing in polling data when it'll say that, I remember it was like 70, the stats are, you change all the time, but there was a stat, so over 70%, close to 80% of Americans had said at one particular time, I think 70% that claimed they were Christian, but of that number, only 39% believed in being born again. Do you get what I'm saying? You must be born again. You can't be a Christian apart from being born again. That is believing. That is believing upon Jesus and believing everything that the Word of God says concerning Jesus, and particularly he's the Son of God, that he is the Son of the living God, that he is God. In fact, if we don't believe that, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. That is an anti-Christian spirit not to believe that Jesus is God in human flesh. And so that's what we have in this chapter 3 of John. When we get down to the portion that we read today, beginning with verse 22, we see John the Baptist. So the book of John is the Apostle John that we're reading from, just to make it clear. But John, the Apostle John, the disciple of Jesus, who is the writer here of this book of John, he's talking about John the Baptist, who is another person. So sometimes when you're reading that, you might be a little bit confused about who the John that John is talking about. And so he's talking about John the Baptist, and so the scene switches from Nicodemus and that story to a Judean countryside, and there are two bands of people there on that countryside in that region baptizing. That's what we read here. They're baptizing people in water. That's, you got to remember that John himself, John the Baptist, baptized Jesus. We read about that in chapter 1 of John. He baptized Jesus. So John is baptizing, and he's been baptizing people for repentance. He's been to repent, and he is John the Baptist is called in the Scripture the forerunner of Christ. He come to talking about that the Messiah was coming. That's who John the Baptist is. And now the Messiah is on the scene, and he's even baptized him. We read about in John chapter 1. So now they're on this countryside, and John and those that have been working with him and his ministry, they're baptizing over here. Now Jesus is over here in this area where there's a lot of water, according to the Scripture. Jesus and the disciples are baptizing over here. And in chapter 4, verse 2, it tells us Jesus was not baptizing. His disciples were, but nevertheless, Jesus and his disciples are baptizing. John is baptizing. And then there arose a dispute. There arose a dispute where evangelism team of John the Baptist said, "What about purification?" They begin to dispute about purification. And that's all that's said. They don't even say nothing else about it. In a way, I'll get there in just a moment. They say, he then comes back to them, basically, what I think they're really saying there is, what's the deal, this one that you, as it said here, that you have talked about across the Jordan, that you've said, he's over there, here we are still baptizing, but all the people are going over there. Most of the people are going over there to where he is. And that's when we see the whole discussion begin to change. They say, what about the purification? What's going on here? We don't understand what's happening. And so we're just left there. And then John the Baptist, he turns the direction of the whole conversation and he puts it upon Jesus. He starts talking about him. This is the bridegroom. And he starts talking about how that people are going over there to him. This is God's work. Only God would be doing this, and He's drawing people toward Jesus. And this is the beautiful thing we start seeing about John here. John is deflecting attention away from himself. See, there may be some, I don't know, among John's followers, there may be some jealousy going on. Christ and His disciples, the crowds are going over there. We only have a few people coming over here. Do you see the kind of stuff that goes on in our world still today? When people start having attitudes of jealousy and about this and that and the other, John the Baptist is saying, hey guys, we're not talking about that. I want to tell you what, this is about Jesus now. That's why he was saying, so John, he has to say, listen guys, he reminds them in verse 28, he said, I'm not the Christ. He is. That's what he says. Verse 29, he pushes that envelope forward and talks about him being, he's the bridegroom. I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. This is what John the Baptist is saying. He's the bridegroom, guys. I am the friend of the bridegroom. Verse 30, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. He's deflecting attention away from himself. He's pointing toward Jesus. This is what all of this means. He must increase, I must decrease. So, and we see that attitude of John the Baptist. We don't see it just here. We read it earlier. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle John said of John the Baptist, he said, he is not the light. He came to bear witness to the light, but John the Baptist is not the light. We go down to verse 21 of John 1. There we see even, he said, I'm not Elijah. John the Baptist, I'm not Elijah. And I'm not the prophet that you're looking for. I'm not him. Verse 23, John 1, he starts saying in that section of the scripture that, verse 23, he says, I have to take my glasses off to see. He said, I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness. That's who I am. I'm just one voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is who I am. I'm not who he is. I'm different than him. And then we go down to verse, 27. He says, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals, speaking of Jesus. I can't. So he's deflecting all the attention upon Jesus, Now, furthermore, I just want to see, this is a beautiful thing. John says, in fact, with all this going on, guys, this makes my joy fulfilled. This gives me so much joy. All of this happening, what was disturbing those guys that were with John was not disturbing to John the Baptist. In fact, he's going, this is it, guys. This is what we've been waiting on. This is why we're here. This is why we've been doing what we've been doing. It's all about the fulfillment of Jesus, and this makes my joy complete. This makes my joy fulfilled. I want to tell you this, and I want you to hear it. When Jesus increases in our lives, joy increases. I'm going to say that real loud, okay? When Jesus increases, joy increases. This will help you because when you restate something, it'll help you remember. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, when Jesus increases in your life, you can even point the finger at them. You might need to do that to somebody. If Jesus increases in your life, your joy is going to increase. Your joy is going to increase. And I love that. The scripture talks about there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. There, the scripture talks about the joy of the Lord being our strength. But here Paul is saying, John is telling us, my joy is fulfilled because he's increasing and I'm diminishing. You see that? John is saying, I'm diminishing here, but he's increasing. I'm becoming less and he's becoming more. And he was rejoicing that no longer were people just following him in repentance, but that they were following Jesus. You see, he's excited about that. And you know what? That's why when we look at this present world we live in, and sometimes people get, even within the church world, they get all these jealous things. Listen, we should be interested in people coming to Christ no matter what church they are in. It's about Jesus, not about us. It's about Jesus. Yes, we believe strongly in church growth here at, here at Christian Heritage. We believe that those things that are living, we need to be producing fruit and it should be growing and there be people should be getting saved. But listen, we are working with the church all over this community and the church all over the world for the same common goal, that Jesus be glorified, that Jesus' name be lifted up, that people be born again into the kingdom. And this is what John the Baptist is so excited about. And it made his joy full. Interestingly enough, verse 24 here of chapter 3, it speaks of John the Baptist. He's not been put in prison yet. He hadn't been put in prison yet. Because, see, just in a few months from this particular time here in John 3, Herod will execute John the Baptist. See, the light of his life, John the Baptist, is diminishing. And it soon will be extinguished in this world at this time. John, I'm sure there was a sense, many threats had been made to John the Baptist's life. But what we know is it wouldn't be long before he would be executed. His voice would be silenced. That voice in the wilderness from John 1 and 23 will be silenced. Be silenced. So I just want you to see here that John's life was marked by Christ increasing in his life. When we go to verse 20 of John 3 and 21, there it talks about how that when we're in sin and when somebody is in evil and then in darkness and not living in the truth, that they don't like the light. In fact, they hide from it so that they don't get exposed in their sin. That's natural. That doesn't make any, that's just the reality. When we're not living for Christ, we don't like to get near anybody sometimes that's got light in their life, shining with Christ, and we may be, there's resistance. But when we're born again, so a born again believer, just as John the Baptist, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ is marked with a life that wants to elevate Jesus. We're marked by a life that believes the truth and that we come into the light of the truth and we deflect the good things that we are doing in the light. We should want him to get the credit for it. We should want all the glory to him. So as a born-again believer, we, as a Christian today, we should want him to get, no, not that I'm doing this and look what I did, all these things. But I notice in these verses here, it says that it was in him, verse 21. It's in him that these good things happen in our lives. And so John the Baptist's life was marked by that. You and I should imitate John the Baptist and that our life would be marked by as a person that's wanting Christ to be increased in and the glory belonging to Him in any good deeds that we ever do. Anytime we help somebody, we need to give glory to Jesus. Anytime we're able to speak truth into anybody else's life that according to the scripture, we just want to give glory to Jesus. Anytime that we are able to do a good deed for somebody, I want to give glory to Jesus. I've told y'all my life verse is Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks forever. We want Him to receive the glory, Him to receive the praise, all of that. So there's the mark. That's the mark we all need, that He's increasing and that we are decreasing. Not only that, the fact that that John's disciples and followers were becoming less and those that were following Jesus were becoming more was the plan of God. This is the will of God being performed. You and I should want the will of God performed in our life. We should want the plan and purposes of God fulfilled over our own plans, over what might make us look good, over what might elevate us in some status in this world. And so the plan, these are marks in John the Baptist's life that we should imitate and want that in our life. And so there's the plan. And so in fact, he says, listen, they're following Jesus now. And they're going to him, but this is an act of the will of God the Father. In fact, I think John 6:37, it says exactly that. John 6:37, here it says, all that the Father gives me, Jesus said, will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The Apostle John says, quoting Jesus himself, is saying, those that are following me, Jesus is saying, the Father has performed this. The Father's will has brought this about. And then I want you to see not only the mark and the plan, but I want you to see the must. Because we're talking about God's must. It was a must that John the Baptist deflect attention off of himself. It was a must that Christ increase in John's life and John himself decrease. Jesus said when we come to him as disciples, we are to deny ourselves, take up his cross and take up our cross and follow after Jesus. We're to put him first and foremost in every aspect of our life. This is a must. There was a must in that day that John fade and Jesus become the forefront of everything in this world as he was coming into his ministry at that point in time. We see all of that, but it was a must that it happened. And I want to say to us, just as Jesus said earlier in chapter 3, you must be born again. I want to tell you, it is also this must, the must of God is that he must increase in our life and we must decrease. That is the must of God. It's a divine must. That's what he wants for our life. He said again, you can't be my disciple unless you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after me. That he increase and I decrease. The must, God's must. And then I want you to see the voice. Remember again in chapter 1, verse 23, I mentioned that John's voice is a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. He was a voice to prepare people for Jesus and his ministry as he's coming to this world. But then we get to verse 29 of chapter 3, and it tells us, John said, he spoke of the bridegroom's voice. That these people that are following him, that they're hearing the bridegroom's voice. Notice it again. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so John is saying, I'm the best man. He might be saying, I don't know. I don't really think John would say that, but I'm going to say it. He said, I'm the best man in this deal. He said, but nobody ain't here for me. They hear because of the bridegroom's voice. You know what's incredible about the bridegroom's voice? If you hear his voice, that means he's here. And Jesus is here. Emmanuel's here. His voice is being heard. Jesus is here. Listen, there's no telling how many weddings I've been to in the last 35 years. Have you ever been to the wedding rehearsal where the best man kind of took over the wedding rehearsal? I've been in those situations. He's supposed to give the toast, and he like steals the day. Steals the day. The guy that's getting married over there, he's like, I'm here. I'm over here. I'm over here. The guy, the best man, he's kind of, the friend, he's kind of funny. Big personality. If you don't know him well, you leave and say, who's getting married? Who's getting married? John said, I'm just the friend. The bridegroom is here. His voice is the only one that matters. And I want to tell you this morning at Christian Heritage Church, just as it was then, just as John the Baptist said, the bridegroom's voice is the only one that matters. Jesus, as we start out this year, I want to tell you, I want you to know that God's must for you is that Jesus be the only one that matters in your life. I'm not talking about, we have responsibilities, we have loves, we got family. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying supreme above all others should be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Supreme above all others. So what about this purification thing? Out of nowhere, they just say, there arose a dispute about purification. Well, in John chapter 1 and verse 29, it tells us that John the Baptist was standing there at the River Jordan and Jesus began to approach. And he looked up, John the Baptist looked up and he pointed to Jesus coming. And Jesus was coming to be baptized by John, setting forth an example for all of us. But not only that, he was wanting to set an example for all watching concerning, even though he had nothing to repent of, even though he was showing us the way in every way. And John the Baptist looked at Jesus and before those people said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist, as he's watching the others, and they're pointing about the others that are being, that Jesus and where the disciples are baptizing, he just goes on and doesn't deal with their dispute, but he starts pointing to Jesus. Because you see, John the Baptist has been pointing to Jesus the whole time. He was pointing to him in chapter 1, and he's pointing to him in chapter 3. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Listen, that is the purification that only God can do. That's a purification that only Jesus can do. The only Jesus, only He can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And He's the one who purifies. And so I believe John the Baptist here, he's really telling us, if you'll remember what I said, I told you that He's the Lamb of God. I want you to remember, this is the one you must put your attention on. So maybe He was responding to them as He just started pointing to Jesus. And those that were with Him, I'm sure remembered something about Him pointing that way towards Jesus that would remind them that this is the one who comes to save. This is the one who can wash you free of your sins. This is Jesus, the Savior of the world. He pointed to Him. I love this because it's here in this passage. It talks about the bridegroom. I want you to look with me, Revelation 21 and verse 9. It says, Revelation 21, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Do you see the connection between the bride, the people who come to Christ? Who do they come to? The bridegroom. The bridegroom is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the Lamb's wife is the bride of Christ. It is the saved, born again folk. We are the Lamb's wife. And He purifies us and cleanses us and sets us apart for His glory. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, here we find where the Apostle Paul is comparing the marriage to the church and Christ's relationship to the church. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her," remember that, "for her, that He might sanctify, purify, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish." I want to tell you, this is the purification. Only Jesus Christ can make us white like snow. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And He is the only one that can prepare me for that glorious day when I stand before Him face to face. Yes, we are the bride of Christ, those who come into relationship with Jesus Christ. We're the church of the living God. And I want to tell you, God's must today is that you must be born again. God's must today is that He increase in your life and that we ourselves decrease and everything else in this world decrease besides Him. Would you stand with me today? God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.